And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Hello. Welcome to Declare Your Independence. I'm Ernest Hancock here in Bangor, Maine, from the Love Bus. We're kind of like 90% set up and done. We got a lot of wires got run. Now, I saw that Frank was trying to, come in, and then he's not in. He's going to try again in, or we can do by phone. So he can dial, whatever. Donna, help me out here. I saw Frank up there on the Zoom, and then it went away. Or maybe he's looking for, just have him call the number. And which one is it? Yeah, whichever one it is. Any of them? Okay. So he can just call in the Zoom, and Derek just sent you the numbers that he could use. And there he is. Okay. Are you there, Frank? I got to admit. And joining. All right, Frank, we got you. Frank?
Okay.
Boom!
There we are.
All right, cool. You pushed the right button. Thanks, Derek. All right, so are you doing it by phone? Are you doing the Zoom? Are you doing it on your computer? How are you connecting now?
I have no idea. I just kept hitting that Zoom link, and then sometimes it would tell me that I needed an invitation. Excuse me. And then it wouldn't work, and then it would click on, and then it said I had to tap the icon to unmute because I was in safe driving mode, and then I left and then logged in again. And I just kept doing it, and eventually
Well, it sounds good. Okay, so you're not doing by dialing into a Zoom number. You're just doing Zoom, and is it on your laptop, a computer, or your phone?
My cell phone. Yeah, my cell phone.
This sounds a lot better than your phone. I mean, than your...
Whatever Derek did. I mean, it's the exact same thing I've done for the last how many years now. And
No, it's not. Your phone service sucks. Whatever. Is this... So you dialed into a number, or you just clicked on to do the show?
I just clicked on what Donna sent me.
All right, cool. As long as it works, man, it's all good.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
All right. We're going to go ahead, and we don't have Trump Report graphics running. And it's got bus stuff and everything. But, I think what I'll do is I got skills here. Wait a minute. I can do that. Whatever. I'll figure out what button to push here. All right. What I want to do is go ahead and get a recap from your position on everything that's going on. And it's from my perspective, when Trump did the firing or defunding of the WHO, that was kind of, because I could see it coming. We talked about this before. Whenever he put somebody up on the podium front and center and everybody put the spotlight on, like Anthony Fauci, head of the National Institute of Health or whatever it is, he's got a baggage from back in the mid-80s. And he's just scumbag of scumbag of scumbag, which Dr. Judy has been going on about. And I saw her do an interview with someone without commercial interruption. That always helps. Last week, and it's been just going viral on the site, man. It's just gone stupid. And it was a really good interview of her history with Anthony Fauci. Now, over the years, we've done it. She's gone on and on about it. But it hadn't really sunk in until what's going on now, who this guy is and the role he's played and everything. For Trump to put him up in the laser beam and said, you knew it was coming. I'm going, yeah, he's going to be fired. Whenever he does that, somebody goes, hey, Ernie, President Trump called and he wants you to get on the podium with him. No, I'm good. So it seems like that's his M.O. What do you got to say about the WHO and Fauci and Trump and him firing all that? I haven't been paying attention that much.
Well, all right. Well, there's so much to go over again with 1 hour here. All right. So first, with Fauci, you know, I have mixed feelings with him. I know he's sort of what you would call the medical deep state, although I don't necessarily look at him as in bed with Hillary and all the CIA and all that.
I do. They're all the same.
I know you do. So I'm going to just stay out of that one because I don't know enough either way to love or hate the guy. I think for what he's trying to do from an evidence-based perspective and for entertainment, I don't see any slight in what he's doing from the perspective of someone that really sees this as a virus that needs to be contained. So if you just go with that assumption, everything he's been doing and the information, I think it's been calm and measured. Is there other stuff behind it nefariously and some other background? I'm sure I'm going to skip on that one.
Well, you asked me. You said, is there? That was a question. I go, yes.
Yeah, I know.
Don't be asking questions, man.
No, I get that. But you asked about the WHO. I despise the World Health Organization. They've been a thorn in the side of our country more than most people know. I'm going to try and keep this quick because I know we probably have a break soon. I remember when I was, it was a few years ago, I showed you the new ICD-10 codes that were coming out for doctors. I don't know if you happen to remember that. Most all of you listening probably know whenever you see your doctor, whenever he talks to you, it's barely for like 5 minutes. Then they do a bunch of codes. They give you all these codes like 759.20, blah, 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 whatever. And everything you say to them, they put a new code down. Why? Because each code, and the more specific the code, these get really crazily specific, then they can reimburse for the insurance company.
Yeah, get paid.
Exactly. And of course, they'll just make up codes. I mean, I have patients that will sit there and say that they talk to their patient about a hangnail, and their codes that are in the chart that I see, they start putting all kinds of codes down that what the patients can't believe what these doctors do. So the insurance fraud is unbelievable with insurance codes. But one of the reasons that this is done is because the World Health Organization forces the doctors in this country, have forced every doctor in every hospital, everyone, to use these codes. So the World Health Organization, I didn't realize this. I thought it was just doctors with reimbursement through insurance companies, because what you need to know is that doing these codes completely distorts the market, wastes tons of the time of your doctor. The reason your doctor spends all the time doing paperwork is these codes, not to mention they upcode and they downcode, and the reason that they take your blood pressure every single time that you might get paid.
You know, that's why the doctor has to touch you. The big payment, the first, you know, number one, he'll have all the nurses do all your crap and blah, 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 so he can come in for the 5 minutes and touch and say he did. Because you get charged.
And then they'll lie about the codes. But the thing is, I've gone to these code meetings where I'm forced to, as a doctor, to learn about these damn codes, and a libertarian naturopath sitting in these meetings doesn't really go well, because I tend to be arguing with whoever the so-called professor is. And eventually I asked them, you know, how much are you people paying me to spend all this time doing codes? Because I charge my patients cash, and they have to be paying money for me to waste my time doing codes to say whether a chicken, I'm not making this up, if a chicken bit your right pinky, there's actually a code for a chicken to bite your right pinky, and the location would be at a shopping mall or an opera house. They get that, the new ICD-10 codes get that specific. Most of you thought I was just laughing or making that up, what I just said. I'm not. There's codes that get that specific of location at some venue. It is unbelievable, ridiculous. And I said, how much time are you going to be paying me for to do this? And they laugh at you and they say, well, of course not. I mean, it's your obligation as some doctor. And I said, well, who's making me do this?
Obligation of what?
I thought it was the insurance company. It turned out it's the World Health Organization.
Oh!
It's the WHO that forces us to do it. And therefore, the agreements have been made with America, with WHO, that we will somehow be getting permission or whatever it is that we're getting from them in order to force every doctor in this country to do that. That's what these people are.
That is of interest to me. More. Who? Come back.
from the sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the Crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the Crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the Crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The Crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the Crown fools a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation, a difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the Crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The Crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the Crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the Crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com.
Do you want more businesses accepting Bitcoin Cash and Dash? Now with AnyPay, you earn passive income for every purchase at those businesses. Finally, a financial incentive to spread Bitcoin Cash and Dash. You made it happen, so you get the rewards. Download the AnyPay Cash Register app and add your cryptocurrency wallet addresses. Then install it at a real-life business and tell us what you did at AnyPayInc.com. AnyPayInc.com.
You're already listening to LRN.FM, whether via our 24/7 satellite feed, online streaming audio, or our video feeds. LRN.FM's content is available in multiple ways, but what if all you have is your phone and no data connection? You can call our listen line at 641-793-8869. That's a long-distance number, so you may incur charges. If not, listen as long as you want. 641-793-8869.
Do you ever say, "I could care less," when you really mean the opposite? You mean to say, "I couldn't care less." It's a common mistake. You are judged by how you speak, especially if you're looking for work, with so many more applicants than openings now. But even if you're not, avoiding common misstatements will help you make the most of the dozens of conversations and transactions that crowd your daily routine. So whatever you say, don't say "whatever" as a single word sentence. It's the most annoying expression in the American English language, according to a recent poll. And avoid cliches like the plague. Just kidding. But seriously, at the end of the day, you'll want to avoid this scenario, sounding like everyone else. For more tips, hit survivalspeech.com. I'm Holland Cook.
This is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at LRN.FM.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Let me tell you exactly how long it takes for me in the bus to make a bulletproof coffee, go to the bathroom, and get back in four. It's 4 minutes exactly. That's how long it takes, you know.
Great.
I can do it, man. I can do it. All right. So I'm on my second cup. All right. So the World Health Organization is, I did not know this, because I knew that because my daughter and daughter-in-law, my oldest daughter, Rhea, did medical coding at a high school. I think that's...
Really?
Yeah, no, she was a manager of an office at a Scottsdale that did whatever. She worked her way up, head in charge up. And then my second son's current... let's see. My son's wife, current wife, but when she was his girlfriend... And then they broke up, and then they got back together and so on. But between that time, she worked with my daughter, Rhea, doing the same thing. So I have a daughter and a daughter-in-law that's what they did for years was medical coding. So I had that explained, you know, to me. I'm going, what is that? How are you kind of, you know? And they go through the forms. It's so that when you get paid, you take all these forms that you fill out. And it's so much paperwork and so much of a pain in the butt, and they train you how and do and whatever. They send it to an outsourced company that makes its entire industry created around these codes. And they sit there and they find you, you describe whatever it was you did, or they put a code or somehow justify whatever. They fill that out and they send it to the insurance companies. The insurance company, then they're the ones that are negotiating with the insurance company to make sure that you get paid or this one doesn't do it right, you filled it out wrong. It's just a thing, which means that sometimes these bills, they just get, the doctor's offices get overwhelmed with this and they're not getting paid. So they hire a third party to do it, and then they negotiating. And a lot of times the insurance companies, it'll be 180 days and 3 months, all this kind of crap. And then you kind of, they, you know, jerk you around and get you down to, you know, a portion of it. We'll just pay you if we do this. It's a game.
And No. You have no idea. They have actual seminars that we'll get flyers all the time saying basically enhance your coding and your income potential. Mm-hmm. And this weekend at the Phoenician, all your lunch included, and you'll be paying for whatever, some seminar. And then you go there, and some code guru sits there and tells you how to, this is the quote, upcode. Of course, to me, it's called insurance fraud,
right?
But they call it upcoding. And there's all sorts of tricks. And like I was saying before, the reason that like many of you go back to your doctor after 3 days of maybe, if you took an antibiotic, they say, come on back, and we'll just check in for 2 minutes.
Well, baby visits.
and they do the whole thing. They do the vitals all over again. It's like, why are they doing the vitals?
Because they get paid.
It's lost money on the table. Or how about some other things? Now, this is not quite coding, but to show you how manipulative and manipulated you guys are and then don't even know it, take Medicare. Now, Medicare, of course, is really important with coding because, you know, with Medicare dollars, the coding has to be really accurate, blah, blah, blah. But just to give you one thing. When my grandmother was in the hospital, I would tell her, don't shake the hand of the doctor. You see, notice how, like, whenever a doctor will come in and do rounds or not even hospital, just your regular office, the doctor will come in after the nurse does all of the work. The doctor says, hi, Mrs. Smith, how are you? And they touch your shoulder or shake your hand. Well, we don't realize is they're doing that on purpose because under law, a doctor's not allowed to charge for coding for many of these things unless the doctor actually touched the patient.
Yeah, they have to touch you.
That's in the law. So when they shake your hand, it's not because they care anything about you. It's because then legally they touched you and then they can code. I'll give you another.
No, I give you one other BS thing. It's when they go up and they feel your lymph nodes on your neck, or they do, you know, all that's just BS. They don't give a crap.
It's BS. But guys, just to realize the whole thing with regulation, and I'm talking to the choir, this audience. But the thing is the more regulations in which we get rid of, and Donald Trump, the Trump report technically, has done quite a bit more than any other president to get rid of these regulations.
He got rid of the who.
He understands, yeah, exactly. He understands the friction that this stuff creates onto businesses. The problem is most doctors are clueless about business, which is no surprise. So these doctors, you know, they indoctrinated it from the minute that they're in pre-med to medical school. They've never had an actual job before. They never had a paper route. They were just told how smart they were their entire life, and then they're indoctrinated into the system, and they think it's normal. They think this thing is normal. So, for instance, they put so much effort and weight on these codes, and they spend so much time on it. So I'll give you the threat. If someone comes into me and there's a prostate problem, right, I could sit there and put down, you know, prostate problem. But the thing is, whenever you, if you see a code, 0.9, if it ends in decimal 0.9, that's code, no pun intended, for a generic code. It's basically saying this person has something wrong with this prostate. Okay, and if you put, let's say, R97.2, 2, 9. If it's 9, it means there's something general with the prostate. The problem is you're not expected to do that very often. That's what you put down maybe if you get stumped or if you haven't figured out what this problem is. Because what they want you to do is eventually to go through and figure out the exact code, which is, well, he had prostatedemia based off of having too much sex with Hillary Clinton on January 25th and the second Friday of blah, blah, blah. I mean, these codes get ridiculous. And they want you to put all of this detail down because basically at the end of the day, this is the bigger point, the World Health Organization, I'm figuring out, is the mastermind behind this. They want to know and have these codes universal. Every country in the world, guys, uses the same code. This is not an American thing. Every country. And they spent almost a decade going from the ICD-9 code book to the ICD-10, which just came out about 5, 6, or maybe 8 years ago. And it was a huge deal. It's like changing the operating system of Microsoft. When they came out with ICD-10, it was a whole nother level of crap of the amount of time that we have to spend and all these seminars. But the World Health Organization wants to know all at once how many cases of turkeys, biting a child's left, side of their lip around the world on any given day. That is how much minutia in which they want. And to finish this point, thanks for letting me go on this, is that if you just put this easy codes down, 0.9, if I just say general prostate problem or general malaise or general whatever, then the insurance companies start to flag you as if you're not doing your job well enough. You're not being specific enough, and you don't get reimbursed when you put 0.9 down. They want you to break that code down into 10 different COVID subgroups in order to get more information of you to the World Health Organization.
Yeah, blah, 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 and, COVID.
Yeah, there we go. So anyway,
that's your 0.9.
I can't stress enough how angry I am at these asses.
Okay, this is what got me in the beginning of my activism. I keep going on about the Omnibus Trade Competitiveness Act thing. And there was going on a Uruguay round of the GATT Treaty, which is about all the trade codes. Like in Australia, anything that had wheels, is a category. Here you'd have bicycles would be separate from automobiles or that kind of thing. So they wanted the harmonized code for trade so they could have, export, import, all that kind of stuff. What I saw going on is I'm going, okay, I get it. Just like with the WHO. It's just like they want to have... And one ring to rule them all. That's what this whole thing is about. One ring to rule them all. And we need to have all the information on everybody all the time, real lifetime. And we got the freaking NSA computing power to do it and artificial intelligence up. And we'll know everything with the Internet of Everything. Here comes 5G. It's all part of the same mentality. We rule you.
My name is Jacob Hornberger. I'm president of the...
Yeah. It's a mentality. It's, if we only had powerful enough computers, if we only had, whatever, if we only, and this is where,
Well, I'll tell you, Ernie, the minute we go, because look, this medical system is going to collapse like the rest of this economy, and we can chat on the other side. But I'll tell you what, when all that goes, and I've told some of my doctor friends, you guys don't realize that all of these certifications and accreditations and regulations and blah, 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 they're all going away of the dodo and the wagon wheel. People don't see it yet. And with the World Health Organization, with the crosshairs, which I didn't expect that coming. God bless Trump on that.
I know,
one.
That was awesome.
If we get rid of that, people don't realize that if we go more cash fee-for-service with doctors and get rid of these codes, guys, if we get rid of these codes, the cost of visits with your doctors will drop immensely. That's the point, guys. When a doctor doesn't have to spend all their time doing these codes and have to hire 5 insurance billers like with your daughter and all of this crap, all of this just friction on the system where it's simply fee for service. If you give me a mercury dime, I'll take your blood pressure, make sure that you're still alive, the side of the grass, and figure out what's wrong with your prostate. Done.
For a mercury dime, I'll give you a device that'll do it for you. Here's a watch. it's over, man. This whole I'm glad to see, everybody's like, how is this going to change? How is it going to manifest itself? Where is the difference going to come? Yada 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 yada. I go, well, here it is. This is it. You know, it's going to be, it doesn't go in, you know, little bit gradual. It's in fits and starts. It's in big, giant, you know, bumps in evolution of systems, of species, of all of a sudden, boom, I knew I needed a third arm. You know, I mean, it's just, this is, we're sitting here witnessing this. And I'm going to document it across the country.
No, and also it's part of the death of globalism. I've talked on your show a number of times. It's not about left versus right, Democrat versus Republican, liberal versus conservative. That whole paradigm has been blown out of the water. This whole thing has been globalism versus nationalism / populism.
No, it's about gender bathrooms.
Yeah. I mean, this is it. It's the globalists. And I never knew. And trust me, guys. Your regular doctor, trust me, is not as much of a pain in the ass as I am when I go to these seminars. I can't stress enough. Libertarian doctors like me and us, we kind of the ones that raise our hand. Excuse me, how much are we getting paid to do all this? Do you understand what the costs are? And doctors don't even question it.
Yeah, but no, you just planted a sliver in their cortex, man.
Oh, I definitely did. Oh. Well,
yeah. Like, how much am I getting paid?
The funny thing is, like no one will back me up. But on the lunch breaks or when the bathroom breaks, you'd be amazed how many doctors come to you privately.
Of course,
Dr. Tambor, I'm really glad you brought that up. Like, I didn't know that. You know, it's like, oh boy. So anyway, that's what goes on. So think about this. This is just like when you hear about the UN that tries to get America in certain agreements where our troops have to be used. Or for gun control. I mean, you guys have heard how many times the UN tries to use their leverage to force, you know, regs and licensing and problems in our country. So they control us through this globalist initiative. So to shut down WHO is part of the death knell of George Soros and this entire, I'm not saying George Soros is linked to the WHO, I'm sure he is somehow.
Yeah,
I'm just saying that it's the concept, it's all falling apart. And that's why, just like Saddam Hussein blowing up the burning the oil wells on his way out, you know, who knows if coronavirus is the oil well as these globalists
right,
knew their day was done.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Yeah, I knew it was going to happen. You know, Dr. Frank unloaded on the WHO in the break, and now he's all done.
Yeah, all done.
You know, one of the things that you did right at the end, you said, yeah, it's like, you know, the Kuwait, they did the oil wells as they went. You know, I just heard a report. God, what was it? I was reading something that the it was U.S. Special Forces that did that, you know, so that they could have, you know, justification to have. It was all a psyop, you know. It's just blah, 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 blah. So, I mean, nothing surprises me anymore. I'm they, them, those. So the World Health Organization, isn't that part of the UN?
It probably is. I'm sure it's probably an offshoot of it. It's like Joni Loves Chachi from Happy Days, something like that.
Yeah, whatever. It's the same mentality anyway. So this
yeah,
is
it's a spell.
And Gates and these guys, Bill Gates and from Microsoft and all these guys, they're definitely using their label to get you to whatever. So what Frank is talking about is all this coding stuff. I didn't know that. That comes from the WHO. They're, you know, the internet of everything, coding of everything, everybody, everywhere. You get in, and we got a whole bunch of COVID deaths because we just filled out this form and said so. Yeah, it's another thing. When I find out that hospitals are getting tens of thousands of dollars, and doctor, you know, you get all kinds of financial incentives, just put down this code. It'll be okay. And we won't likely be checking, wink, wink. They actually say that. And I'm going, wow, the incentive is it's what you reward and what you punish. Well, if you punish anybody saying anything against the BS and you reward them with gazillions of dollars for writing code COVID-19 on there, let me think what's going to happen. Let me think. Oh, yeah, you're going to get a whole bunch of them. And this is what's going on. And for Trump to call BS on the – you know he had to have that plan. There's a secret, you know, the QAnon of the back room of the we had the plan of we're going to who thing. Do you think Trump kind of, you know, surprised, didn't see that one coming, did you? Or did that last minute thing?
I mean, I think you were talking about from last night. So last night, I know.
I don't know what happened last night. What happened last night?
Oh, yeah. Well, Ernie Hancock was getting his beauty sleep, which he needs, you know, plenty of.
I went to bed at 4 a.m. I want to hear it.
Yeah, so anyway, so So Ernie, all of a sudden I start texting him because Donald Trump at 11:30 Eastern time, all of a sudden goes on a Twitter rant, and he starts blasting his tweets. Now, he hasn't done a Twitter storm in quite a while, especially with COVID. He's kind of avoided bringing politics into it, that sort of thing. But all of a sudden, bam, 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 I'm getting all of these, and they all deal with Project Hurricane, right? Which is the whole, you know, Russiagate, FISA abuse, Hillary Clinton email, the entire, everything we've talked about on this show.
It's called Project what?
Epoch Times. Huh?
It's called Project what?
Hurricane.
This was actual, he just gave it a name, or there was
No, that's what they called it. It's what Peter, dude, you don't know this? Peter Strzok and Lisa Page and that whole group, the cast of characters, and the files, we found out that's what they called the entire operation.
Oh, so their insurance policy was Project Hurricane?
Yeah, this whole just put in Project Hurricane.
Oh my God!
Just Google it right now, man. So it was their name. Or yes, yeah,
you don't
Hurricane.
Google anything; you search it.
you duck duck go it. Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
They're just as bad. They're all as bad. Doesn't matter. Yeah.
All right. So anyway, the thing is, so this is interesting to talk about. First off, guys, he sent like 5-6 different tweets about all within like seconds of each other. And it was interesting because they were linked mainly to Mr. What's his name? Garrett. I forget his first name. Garrett is one of the top reporters outside of Fox News, but he does work with Fox News. He's one of the, I would say he really is a Pulitzer Prize winning type of a reporter. He's the old gumshoe type, and he's the one that helped break this entire Hillary Clinton email scandal, the whole FISA abuse deal. He really is a true reporter. And I just wanted to just point that out. He's not just a run-of-the-mill hack. But for what it's worth, that is why George Garrett, I think his name is. So that is why Donald Trump wound up linking to his articles, which were all dropping this morning. Mostly him, but a few others. And so all this comes out with this data dump that they finally got this past week about Russiagate again. So I sent them all to Ernie and Donna late last night, and I apologize for waking them up. You know, tweet. But I'm like, look, the president's tweeting me. We have a Trump report tomorrow. Huh. So I wound up checking them out I know. Ernie's like, I can't wait. I'm losing sleep. I'm so excited. Right. Well, anyway, yeah. I tried scanning them quickly. I didn't have a chance to read them all. Basically, guys, it's nothing really that new that we don't know. Basically, what was released was just confirmation officially that's now on the record that these things occurred, as far as with the email server with Hillary, that the Russians knew all along that the FISA warrant was all made up, the Christopher Steele, they knew the whole deal. And it's official now that Russia did not choose to slam Clinton because they were afraid of Clinton. They wanted to prop up Trump to hurt Clinton. Basically, that they hate both sides.
Well, I gleaned from whatever, you know, the atmosphere out there that the Obama administration and the presidency, White House, Obama himself, they knew it was all crap, that they went with it anyway. I saw that, and I go, yeah, okay, well, I get it, you know, whatever.
So the thing is, the information was not that you know, groundbreaking from our point of view, because we already knew it. If anything, it's official, plus the fact that Trump tweeted in a Twitter storm means that he definitely got the attention of the leftist media, and this is at least on the record, and they're forced to deal with it, even though they're probably, of course, they're just going to ignore it. But what's more important, and this is the discussion for what we have left, is why did he do it now? We're so preoccupied with the coronavirus and everything else. Was it because, you know, the timing just happened to work out? Or could it be that he was using it as maybe a distraction, maybe to get Republicans, a lot of his supporters?
No, no, it was to get $6 trillion. That's what it was for.
What? Oh, yeah. So the question is, you know, I don't want to get too much into 3D, 4D chess for Trump, but, you know, how much of this was a smokescreen or a way to temper his base, which is all about to riot, you know, because of this whole governor shutdown stuff? So, you know, he has created a lot of goodwill amongst his own supporters, you know, people who normally would have rioted by now if Hillary Clinton, God forbid, was president and shutting down states through Democrat governors. Imagine that. So Trump has built up goodwill, maybe not with libertarians who never want to be told that they can't go outside. I get that. But for a lot of his, you know, militia, you know, base and this kind of stuff, I think he's built it up, but they're being pressed. And of course, he did his. He put salt on the wound when, after his press conference on Thursday, he then tweeted the very next day to liberate, you know, these states like Virginia, to liberate, to shove it to these Democratic governors. And then he comes out with this Project Hurricane revelations right now. So I don't know. Everything's political. The guy's brilliant.
Okay, this is one thing that I was like, one, who's he to declare, you know, the country has to be something, you know, shut down or whatever. What do I care what he says? And then you have the governors, you know, when he's saying, okay, you guys, you know, it's on you. You need to take leadership. You need to make us. And he's going, no, I think you should open. And they go, no, you can't make us, you know, or you should prevent. I'm not really sure which one they're going for. They want a powerful executive to tell them what to do or not tell them what to do what?
Ernie, this is why I've got a 6-foot cutout figure of Trump in my doorway. Okay, this is why I bow down to the altar. I'm just saying, God. The guy's brilliant. He's brilliant.
I'm starting to see Trump signs go up on streets here, though.
No, I'm telling you, that whole thing was a head fake. And I know we're probably going to have to, you know, have the break soon. I'm telling you, it was a head fake. He does this a lot. He started to float. Remember last week or so, he was floating the concept that I'm the executive. I'm the supreme ruler here. And when I decided by decree that all of the states will open up at the same time to open this economy.
Yeah, I wasn't like a fan of
light
that.
Switch, he was planning what the liberal media thinks he is, because he knows how they see him. So he'll do that. He'll plant seeds. The media runs with it all week. How dare he think he can do this? And then when he has the meeting, he spun it on them and said, oh, I'm not going to tell you what to do. It's on the governors. And if the economy sinks on your state, it's on you. And they flip out. He's amazing.
I just wish I knew what the plan was. I don't know. But he is pissing them off, and that's always good.
Yeah.
I'm crazy about My Magic Mutt. This is the most important.
Yeah, I'm that whole thing just seems to be I don't claim to understand what's going on. But I do see that the game is being played. The play was this. I ruled. No, you don't. Okay, I don't. It's you. No, we're not. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, what the hell, man? These guys got no consistency whatsoever.
No, they don't. They don't. But the thing is, the reason they get away with it is they control the media, or at least they did. They still think that they do. Of course, that's being blown out of the water. They also, you know, they know that their viewers, and this is not everybody, but their viewers do tend to have short attention spans and short memories. You know, after all, I'm not trying to be funny, but one of the reasons that the old humorist, the guy who did the caricatures, the guy who came up with the logo for the Democrat and Republican, the donkey and the elephant, yeah. Who, by the way, is the same guy that came up with the Santa Claus Coca-Cola logo, you know, back in the 1940s or whatever.
Oh,
same
yeah,
guy,
the shape. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. He's like... Yes. It needs to be efficient, like the shape of the egg. I mean, you know that guy.
Yeah, yeah. It was just kind of like a commercial political artist or something.
Yeah, no,
so
they
he's
did
the
a special
one that
something.
Objectively, he came up with both logos. And you remember that Democrats were jackasses and that they were just reactionary. But elephants were slow, you know, slow to change. That's why the elephant. And also that elephants are known to never forget. Elephants have long memories. And that was part of why the elephant was chosen by him. And it's true. Why do you think that Republicans and libertarians, I'll add in here, definitely, we're the ones that maybe can cite the Constitution. We're the ones that remember what happened 10, 20 years ago and what bill was passed. Like, many of us have memories, whereas most of our liberal friends, you know, yeah, to them, it's like Facebook's, you know, social media, whatever they had for lunch, they got to post it. They have no idea what happened. Therefore, there's no consistency. And that's why the media is able to get away with this crap all the time. They can literally tell you on Monday that I don't know, that Democrats are in favor of the color green. And then by Friday, they say, oh, no, we never said that. You know, we've always been in favor of the color orange. And people just, they have no memory of what they just flipped on them. And
oh, no, don't make that just Democrats. That's exactly what Shattuck did in bringing back the tarp as Republican congressman, a scumbag. You know, I never said that. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm going, what are you guys, stupid?
fair enough. We're talking establishment people, but I think Democrats get away with that more often because they can keep massaging it with the media. When you control the media and the narrative all the time,
it's whoever's in charge of whatever the media is doing. Sometimes it's George W. Bush. Sometimes it's Obama or Hillary. I mean, you know, it's
I'm not saying Republicans haven't done some of this, but they were never in a position to be that powerful and utilize it because they didn't have the narrative. It's like that famous Star Trek Next Generation episode with Picard when he was getting brainwashed and they kept telling the Cardassians, like telling them there are
five lights.
Are there?
Yeah.
There's four lights. There's three lights. No, there's four, you know, and he kept shocking them with torture until he literally could see four lights. And, you know, you have to be constantly in control of
the That was at the end of the episode. He didn't break them. He was trying to break them right before they had to release them.
Yeah.
And at the very last 30 seconds of the episode, he's sitting down with Chancellor Troy, and he looks at her and he goes, I saw four or five, whatever it was they wanted them to see, even though it wasn't there. He goes, I saw it, and that really bothered him. You know?
Yeah. No.
They can convince you. That's what all this Facebook, this whole hoax. I know it's not a hoax, or any people are dying. Well, I'm not saying hoax. I mean, the whole thing is a hoax. It's just all crap, you know. All right, we're coming back. Here we go. We got two dials and stuff.
FM.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock
and Dr. Frank Tamburi on the Trump Report. You know, it's there's a lot of culture that, I can't believe you didn't bring this up. Dr. Frank and I have done a lot of shows on, you know, it just seems like there's some control programming, manipulative, whatever. There was a video called something shadow, whatever, about Hollywood. You know what I'm talking about, Frank?
Oh, yeah. Did you see my post?
I saw you commented. You had a comment on the site on there. You know, I was like, whoa, Frank actually logged in and made a comment. Holy crap. Yeah, he figured it out, man. What the hell? He must have been motivated. So I think I sent that to you. I go, this is definitely a Frank thing. I watched that, and it was, you know, it's just confirmation of everything we've been talking about and that we knew. But it is so bad for so long, since at least World War II and Operation Paperclip, and they brought in the Nazi brainwash, blah, blah, blah. Central Intelligence and the intelligence, and they, them, those, you know, that since forever, the secret hands. Oh, they wouldn't take over the government through the, you know, they wouldn't do that. That'd be wrong, you know. If they can, they are. And I got an email who said, oh, it's Charles Goyette. Charles Goyette sent me a text last night, and it was Tucker Carlson. He goes, why do these people do all this harm? And blah, blah, blah. And he goes, because they can. And he goes, yeah, I was thinking of you, man, when I saw that. So yeah. So this whole Hollywood thing, you watched it. What impact did it have on you? You know, go ahead and share about that.
You know, I almost hate you bringing it up so I can get my blood pressure up. Yeah, so Ernie doesn't always post to me personally and say, Frank, check this, because, you know, Freedom's Phoenix speaks for itself very well. But Ernie said, Frank, watch. So I was like, all right, I guess I have to check it out. And basically, it's what is called In the Shadows, or whatever it's called.
Okay, wait. I want to get a 1 to 10. You are glad I sent that and told you to watch that. A 2, 11, what?
I'm glad I watched it ultimately. I'll give it a 9 to a 10.
Yeah, see?
I'm also
see?
Angry that you sent it to me because it ticked me off for like days. So I thought you
made your comment.
So no, it really did. It really did. And so what I put the comment basically was, and first off, guys, what this is, and you have to just watch it, and you have to watch it all the way through because if what you think they talk about in the first 10, 20 minutes is the whole show, it's not. It's sort of like these things that get so complicated, and sociopaths purposely make things complicated. That's why they're able to get away with this, and why, not to go back to the old point, why a lot of times they do well with people who have short attention spans and short memories, who tend not to be elephants, because, you know, they don't remember all the balls in the air and the magic tricks in which they've got going to distract you, and you don't remember. But anyway,
yeah, so the last third of it really kicks. I mean, I was
the
going,
last
whoa.
Third, exactly. But don't skip to the third because what they have to put all the pieces in place.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a good story. The thing is, though, most all the information in there, I would say two thirds, I already knew through time, and most of your viewers, I think, will also go, oh yeah, I remember this, I remember that. But what's unique about it is, I said in the comment, it's really about the entire it's the concept that absolute power corrupts absolutely. At the end of the day, it's the Democrats mainly who've turned into this. And I want to be clear. It used to be the No. It's not about Democrats. It's not just about that. Remember, Republicans were the deep state and were the evil side back in the day when they were unchallenged. And if you challenged some Republican back in the 50s and 60s, they called you a commie or unpatriotic. That's how they shut you down. And the irony is it flipped after Watergate and the deep state of the conservatives, and now the liberals have become the very thing that they tried to overthrow. Now, instead of calling you a commie with McCarthyism, now you're a racist, you're a sexist, blah, blah, whatever fascist. They want to throw at you to shut you down. So I'm not saying it's that one side is pure or not.
There ain't no one side. They're all the same.
I get it. But the thing is, on Jeffrey Epstein's island, there wasn't too many Republicans, right? They were mainly all the Hollywood elite, the media people, the Democrat Party, Bill Clinton himself. It was that same cadre. And I'm just saying, it doesn't say Republicans are off the hook, but this pendulum has swung to the other direction. So I'm not trying to just play Fox News as great and Republicans are innocent. That is not the case. But this recent swamp has been taken over by these people. And so anyway, this gets all the way in. It sets everything up from the CIA, operations that all of us know, the things that have already been declared. It's nothing top secret that's not out there. But what this movie does, guys, it's sort of like the Freedom to Fascism. And I hope anyone listening knows that documentary, okay? The Freedom to Fascism documentary was the documentary that pieced together all the concepts of how money works in the Federal Reserve by Aaron Russo. And it was so well done, and it finally took all these different things and put it together in a narrative you could finally digest and share it with somebody easily. And that is what the power of that movie was, which launched the entire Ron Paul revolution. That Ernie, and
you know, Aaron Russo, he did an interview right before he died. I think it was with Alex Jones, and it was about how, I think it was David Rockefeller, one of the Rockefellers. Took him aside, and they tried to bring him into this, what was going on in the Hollywood and all that kind of stuff. And Russo is just a personality. If you ever met him, man, you know, he's just like, hell no. And if he's not going to be king, he don't want to have anything to do with it. And so Aaron was part of the inside crowd, them trying to recruit him for this very thing that was going on. And he talked about it. So if you watched that interview, you go look at it, it's still around. We had it on Freedom's Phoenix. It's IPFS now. Ha, 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 ha. So you find Aaron Russo interview, last interview or something, Alex Jones, and he talks about this very thing, about how they did it and people they've gone through. But nobody, they're going, whatever. But you don't see that it's been a continuous brainwashing culminating in the thudding and the freaking freak out. Took over your mind with Facebook. This whole thing has been just a product built up to the aha. They go, now we're into their brain,
So if you guys know Freedom to Fascism, you understand the level and what a game changer that was. This documentary, and I hope I didn't oversell it, God knows.
No, watch it to the end. It's worth watching.
But watch the whole thing. But it kind of reminded me of that. It was very professionally done. It wasn't some low quality documentary with good intentions. It was done very well all the way through, and everything is backed up. You can sit there and follow it through. And it's something that I would say is legitimate enough that I would send to family members who think that who get
well documented
about, talking about this stuff. I would send it to them. I think it was done well. I think when it starts to end, the reason it gets very frustrating or angry, especially when you have a daughter, or any children, is that it starts to end on the Jeffrey Epstein issue. Now, this whole thing is not all about Jeffrey Epstein. But in essence, Ernie, for the minute I have left here, I got to tell you, it's kind of like the reason Jeffrey Epstein is so important and to end on that is because it demonstrates the end game that power corrupts absolutely. When you get to a point where you can have people in the public eye on all areas of media and academia and politics all being able to go to an island and do the things that they did there. That is basically just it's symbolic of, if they can get away with that, with the ultimate power of being able to get children onto an island and do whatever that you want with them, and then get on television the next day and bite your bottom lip and still get sympathy and still be in power of everybody. If you can pull that off, it shows you just how rotten to the core the entire system is. And that's pretty much what it is. This is not just, it's not sensationalism about Jeffrey
Epstein. Yeah, it's one of the reasons why they,
on top of it.
It's one of the reasons why they say, you know, decadence is the beginning of the fall of empires or some crap like that. And it's not, right. I don't think it's, you know, they want to go have orgies and whatever and live television, and I don't care. But the point is that it's a sign. It's a sign when it's a, when it's the hubris of those people that want to rule you, that they get the concept that they can do anything they want.
Exactly.
They're so bored with themselves or just want to demonstrate they got this ultimate power of whatever they want with anybody they want. It's a thing, and it gets them in a club. You know, the one thing that entice some people, they're talking about, you know, musicians and, you know, opinion makers, the YouTubers. That's why you get PewDiePie, and he's got, you know, 100 million followers, and he's not with their program. You're either with us or you're against us. You're not. He's like, ah, screw you. I'll go over to platform, whatever the hell. But, you know, the thing is, that's why you have all this influence of the influencers to get them on board, to not say certain things.
Very quick. They don't really bring up Trump in this, but you can understand why they hate Trump so much, because, like you said, he's not part of the system. That's why.
I'm thinking, you know, what really had an impact on me is when you said we can always expect Trump to, of course, act in his own self-interest. And what he perceives as his self-interest is his brand. You know, he will not risk his brand for his grandkids, kids, that kind of. He's got at least enough empathy that he's, you know, or, you know, forward thinking of something, you know. So we're living in very interesting times, and we were worried about, you know, is it going to be peace in our lifetime? Probably. Is it going to be freedom? Probably. But it's going to get messy first, I guarantee it. You just got to not beat them, just outlast them.
On Free Talk Live, we're bringing...
There we go. Boom. So wow. How things going for you at home?
Pretty good. You know, on the private. Well,
hold on a second.
It's okay. You can still record it. It's fine. I mean, I don't mind. But on a pseudo private note, is what I meant to say, is, you know, my better half and people around me are starting to acclimate to the new normal. I mean, I have to be honest, it was tough, you know, at first, because I could see the tidal wave and the people around me could not, and they thought I was crazy, you know, doing the things in which I was doing, which I won't go into details except with you personally, but, you know, getting ready for what's coming. And, you know, and you know, even my own wife is like, what the heck, you know, like that I smoked something, what's going on? Now she's seeing it, which also is a canary in the cage in the coal mine, as more people are starting to understand the problem. Mm-hmm. And I know this is a whole different conversation. I can't talk too much longer. And this is a good topic for Tim, of course.
See that movie, The Shadow One?
No, she's going to watch it. She told me she wants to see it, but I watched it when she was with the baby, actually, so I got time to watch it. But I said, you know what?
Yeah, she really
I told her she's going to hate me to watch it, but she doesn't want to see it. You know, the irony is after I watched it, I put on a movie just on Saturday. You know, I decided to find some movie I haven't seen in a while. And I'm telling you, it was not on purpose. I can't make this up. I put on Roman Polanski's The Ninth Gate with Johnny Depp. I haven't seen that movie. I remember it was a slow burn. It was kind of an interesting, like, a artiste movie, you know. So I put it on, and it the whole thing was about the occult. The whole thing was about rich celebrities and politicians in the occult. And it hit me again, all of the links that movie talks about.
Yeah.
Roman Polanski, right, his wife, Sharon Tate, you know, getting murdered when she was pregnant by Charles Manson, who was also, his people are all like Satanists and such. Then you've got the fact that Roman Polanski, you know, supposed to some innocent guy, his wife got murdered, and I'm not trying to make light of it, but the guy isn't just somebody that happened to work at the gas station. This guy makes every movie about the occult. I mean, he met Sharon Tate on a movie about vampires. He also got the Oscar for Rosemary's Baby,
which
is a whole movie about the occult, about normal people that live around you who are Satanists and have a private secret life. Then he does the movie The Ninth Gate when he's been chased out of America because he himself was a pedophile, and then the guy's out in whatever France, living in France, and he creates The Ninth Gate through a French company, and of course it was released here.
I don't remember that one. What was The Ninth Gate about?
dude, you got to watch it. It's basically, you know, you have to watch it. It's quite an interesting cast. Frank Langella was in it, the guy who used to play Dracula. It's a pretty interesting movie. Ernie, you have to watch it.
Yeah.
It is the same theme. It's the same theme. It's like Eyes Wide Shut that Stanley Kubrick was kind of warning us about. It's the same. I'm telling you, if you watch the Shadow, what is it? The documentary. I keep forgetting the name of it.
I know, Shadow something. I keep everybody yelling at me in Telegram. What's the name of it? You should put it. I go, you know, find it.
What is the
Get
name?
Over
what
it.
Is the name? Shadow, Into the Shadows or something? What is it called?
I don't know.
None of us know the name of this documentary. Anyway, it's on Freedom's Fiends. It's like Into the Shadows or Out of the Shadows, something like that. But and it's on YouTube still. They haven't stricken it down yet. I'm waiting for that. But anyway, this documentary is astounding. But if you watch that and watch The Ninth Gate, which is on Amazon, I think right now, or Netflix, if you put it on, it's like it's showing you. And Roman Polanski wasn't even mentioned in this movie. But you can see the same pattern of everything that they're lining up. It's astounding. So anyway, that all of that came out, and I was just pointing out right before we talked about the documentary again, is the issue with the oil with the oil costs from yesterday, right? As far as oil futures and the oil market collapsing yesterday, unprecedented. That of course is probably a harbinger of course the dollar going down. That's a whole other loaded topic, but I'll just tell you it's. You know, that it's sort of like I told Savarda. It's like a doctor who can tell when your loved one is on a hospice and the layman, you know, the loved ones around the bed of their loved one are sitting there watching maybe their loved one getting a second boost of energy, and they're talking and they're communicating, and they think that their loved one is coming back. And yet the doctors who understand the labs can look at them and see that the COT, the pulse ox number is going down and the kidney numbers are starting to shut down. And you can see the signs of what you expect when the system is shutting down. And that is what economists and people can see with the things in which and the way in which these things are occurring. Like Peter Schiff himself would say, we don't know the exact order of these events. It's just that the events have to happen in some order. And there's like paper, scissors, rock, how this thing is going to unravel. And it's doing it now. So the fact that oil did what it did yesterday is just a death knell. And again, on a pseudo-personal note, since we're being recorded, is at least my family is a bit up to speed going, oh, now I know why Frank was so, engaged the last couple of months and not playing jigsaw puzzles like all of their friends on Facebook were during this quarantine time. So anyway, it's all coming together.
One thing I wanted to, before you go, in that movie, that kind of had a big impact, you know, of course it's all Disney and they, them, those, and, you know, same shit we all been talking about, but it was Katy Perry. And, you know, you have all these stars and they just embrace it. Yeah, give me shitloads of money and I'll give up God and put the horns on. And you get big production values of just making this, it's a cult thing. And I'm going, holy crap. And there was... we're watching a video of, you know, something. Derek was here and some violinist that, you know, talented and makes cool videos and everything. And I go, oh, yeah, she's really popular. I go, yeah, you know, does she wear horns? And he goes, what? I go, yeah, whenever they're promoted like this or sooner or later, you got to have horns. We're watching the video and seconds later, two people are walking around with these big antler horns on. And I go, holy crap. I mean, is this what I'm talking about? It's symbolism with these guys. They have to get the horns in, you know? And I'm going, there's some weird shit going on.
No, it really is. And the thing is, the reason that your friends and family will just count it and think that you have to be crazy is because the minute you say that these people are Satanists, and I'm not saying everybody in Hollywood and everyone in media, of course not, but there's enough of them, and that's the subculture. And even people who are not part of it probably know there's something going on. There was a very interesting clip of all the clips that really stood out. There was a television show on Netflix that Savarda loves, actually. It's called Comedians in Cars Drinking Coffee. Have you seen that?
Have you seen that? Seinfeld, yeah.
Yeah. Seinfeld. It's actually not a bad show.
I like
it. They talk to comedians and have like an actual discussion over coffee.
Yeah, Eddie Murphy gets in the passenger. They just drive around shooting the crap on camera.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a very good show.
Yeah, I watched it a few times, different guys.
Well, she like binge watched that thing. And what's interesting too is that the comedians tend to be brilliant, The best comedians between Robin Williams, George Carlin, even Howard Stern, I disagree with him recently. But the thing is, these guys, the best comedians really are geniuses. They really, their brains work so quick, and also they're depressed. Most of them have serious depression issues, which you would never guess with comedians. And that's a whole other topic. Yeah. But anyway, it was interesting to watch that series. For what it's worth, though, one of the shows, which I didn't see all of them, was highlighted in this documentary of yours. And it was a quick clip where Jerry Seinfeld was driving with Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
And Eddie Murphy was sitting there talking about Sammy Davis Jr., telling him about the occult and about the demon worship and all this stuff. And of course, Eddie Murphy's like, oh, come on, man. Like, he was just laughing it up. And yet he happened to spill the beans just when they're having fun in this reality show. So the hints are out there. It's sort of like Weinstein. Not everyone was raped by Weinstein. Not everybody maybe even knew. But almost everyone had heard the murmurs of that secret world in the casting couch or worse was out there.
Well, Ricky Gervais is making fun of Hollywood. He goes, hey, he's your friend. I go, don't sit there and bullshit me about, all you guys have been sucking him off for decades. I don't want to hear your whining shit, you hypocritical pieces of crap. So this is, it's all starting to, come out. And Hollywood has really counted on the influence makers. And when you have somebody like the Kardashians got, people being freed and using, and Kanye West siding with Trump and so on, it's like, there's your gazillion followers that, here, just look at my big butt and whatever, and I can say whatever I want and make America great again. They don't like that. They're just, what the hell can we do to stop this?
The thing is, when I was watching the show, when you say that Hollywood and these people are, many of them, and these influencers are Satanists, what have you, the first thing that comes to mind is, it's like, oh, come on, Frank, I thought you were a doctor, I thought you were smart. Are you really thinking these people are all sitting around doing worshiping to the big devil, and then they're going to conjure him, and he's going to come out of some, with frog's legs and what? No. It's not. I mean, it's no.
It's a philosophy.
It's a lifestyle. Exactly. It's a lifestyle.
It's a club. And it's like you said, Rosemary's Baby. Because I remember, the only part I remember about Rosemary's Baby, other than the tension and scare and she gives birth to the devil or whatever, was that the whole reason, I as a kid, I'm going, what the hell is wrong with these people? It's because they get some kind of, because they're sociopaths. They got to really instill that in people, this way they think. And what they were doing is they had a special club that they benefited if they acted this way, if they did this ritual, if they supported this kind of occult crap, if they did the handshake of the blood of the blah blah and all these videos now of everybody's weird shit, if they did that, then they all benefited. They are signed into the Bohemian Club of the special whatever the hell it is. They benefit. It's personal material benefit because they're lacking some psychological or spiritual or humanity component that they don't have. And they need this benefit. That's what's going on. It's somehow they're in the club, and this is your initiation into it. That's all this is initiation in the club.
Ernie, you're right, but you're missing the point, the big point, which is, I was just kind of getting that point, which is that on the surface, it might seem to outsiders like your family who might, if you tell them to watch it, that you're thinking that these Hollywood people are really believe in the devil and they're really sitting there conjuring them.
They believe in the benefit.
Because the movies do talk about it, which, by the way, is also mentioned in this thing, which is that when you're a Satanist, you have to kind of, you have to at least declare it and show it in code. And if code means to make a movie about it where you mock it and say, oh, do you really think your neighbors do this? Ha, ha, ha. Therefore, they're able to do it right under your nose and declare it. And the thing is that these people, they probably don't really believe in the devil, but it's just like many people are armchair Catholics. I mean, how many people really believe, or Jewish people, how many people really believe the earth was made in 7 days? Yeah, maybe it was.
But they show up at the bake sale.
Whatever. They may not honestly believe it. They believe it like any religion. But what's really more important about being whatever this faith or whatever this group is, which, again, you have to see the show to really understand it, is that, like you said, Ernie, it's a club, And it's a way not to just get you in the club, but to have leverage over you.
Yeah.
Because in order to be part of it, you have to do something wrong or illegal. And once you do, now they know they have it on you. And that is how they get you in it. And even if you get out of the club, you can't report on them because they have the goods on you too.
Yeah, this is Skull and Bones crap.
What is it?
Skull and Bones, Bohemian Grove. They got to get you all in on the whatever. Got to tell us your deepest, darkest secret. You know, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what cults do. Cults always find a way to get you to say smack about the loved ones, you know, around you, and or to do something illegal. It's like being in a fraternity.
It really rings true when they did Waco. They went after a religious community group and yada yada yada, and the whole time they said, "Oh, these Christian fundamentals are crazy and they should all be wiped off the face of the planet because they're crazy and they believe in the second coming and we're the Clinton administration and Janet Reno and we're going to go kick ass." And I'm going, wow. And I started hearing the same thing recently. I'm going, holy crap. This is really, it's a battle, you know? Hey, I got to get this phone call. I'll talk to you later, man. Right. It's been real.
I'm all done as well. Have yourself a great day. We'll talk next week. Right. Bye-bye.
Peace.